program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm in the studio with Peter Gallagher, who is a partner at Unisys Federal Systems. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk about a program called AMPS, A-M-P-S, and this acronym stands for Application Modernization Platform as a Service, and what it means to the listeners and what Unisys is all about and how they can help making this transition to the cloud if you want to go to the cloud and if you qualify to go to the cloud, and that's what it's all about. But before we begin, I thought I'd just ask Peter some background questions. The listeners may want to know what your background is, how you wound up working for Unisys.
Thanks, John. It was funny about after I was in the Peace Corps, I joined U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Food and Nutrition Service, and we were distributing food in the New England region. And they had just delivered a 8-bit CPM computer, and they had a rough spreadsheet program on it, and I was able to allocate all the food that typically took a week to allocate to the states in a couple minutes. And that's really how I started getting involved in computers.
8-bit, 16-bit, my, we're dating ourselves here. Come on, we got to get into the cloud now, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So you're a fellow who's been back in the old times of computing and seen everything, and some people say it's circling back to the way they was doing 20 or 30 years ago, and some people say it shouldn't circle back. We're happy the way we're doing it now. The impetus behind this interview was a study that was done a few months back by Meritalk, M as in Mary, M-E-R-I-T-A-L-K. Tell us a little about this study.
Yeah, about 170 federal executives were interviewed, and the focus of it was to find out what's happening with some of these working applications. People call them legacy applications, but they're really working applications. And I can ask you a question, John. When was the first commercial computer sold, and who sold it, and who bought it?
Yeah, I imagine you say 36 years ago with Unisys, I'll bet, huh?
It was 60 years ago this year.
60?
Right.
I can't believe that.
So for 60 years, folks have been building stuff that's running and working. And the cloud-first policy, the administration has done a fantastic job promoting this new technology, new capabilities. What the Meritalk survey showed was that about half of the budgets is going to take care of these older working systems. And we really need a plan to address how we're going to take advantage of the new technologies. And if half the budget of the federal government is going to maintain systems, how are we ever going to get to the point where we're going to become more efficient and more agile?
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with some kind of analogy here. Is it driving your car down the road and having to change the oil as you're driving the car? I mean, you got to drive the car, you got to maintain it, you got to do all these other activities. So it's a large percentage of the federal budget is dedicated just to maintaining existing systems.
Right, and when the four out of the five C-level executives who were participating in the survey, they said that mission-critical activities are threatened based on their ability to maintain and modernize these older applications. And what that got us to find out was their solutions are more money and more people, and we know that's not coming. So if half the systems are in a state where they're not cloud-ready in any shape, manner, or form, how are we going to get there? And that's really what Unisys's mission-critical focus is around.
So we have many of my listeners who are federal IT professionals whose job it is to maintain or manage mission-critical programs, and then you get the Obama administration is kind of nudging them into the cloud, and it's not a black or white. It's not an absolute one way or the other. It's not show up to work tomorrow morning and flip a switch and you're in the cloud. I mean, there's some very serious issues here. There's a lot of money involved.
Right, and I have to say that, you know, the IT professionals, we all know that cloud is a marketing word. National Institute of Standards did a great job of breaking it up into three pieces: platform, software, and infrastructure. So it's really the nuances between those different activities, because we still got the computers, we still got the security, we still have all the issues we used to have. We've got a cloud rubric to talk about it in the big picture, but to really get down to business, we've got to get to those mission-critical applications and decide how we're going to handle them in the future.
I like the term rubric. It originates with a Latin term for red on top of a piece of paper. And that's what is red. Red applications, important applications that are mission critical. And I think what all my listeners have to do is they have to look at the cloud and they go, well, is my application a candidate for a cloud, no matter how you define it? And it's the same thing for service-oriented architecture. Is the technology used, are they good candidates for SOA? Are they good candidates for the cloud? And I think this this AMPS, A-M-P-S, may address some of the concerns and issues that my listeners have.
Right. AMPS, when we talk about platform as a service, Unisys has put a lot of money into this platform area, because when you take a platform as a service, you already have the infrastructure, okay? So infrastructure as a service is one layer. Now we go to the platform. You get to the platform, you know, for years we've tried to get reuse out of platforms. I mean, we had common languages, common code bases. Now we're trying to get a standard technology base. The avatar for this is people like Google, okay? Now, Google, who were working with the GSA on their cloud email, they built a custom-built architecture environment to do one specific thing, highly optimized. What do I do now that I've got in an organization hundreds, if not thousands, of applications? What do I do with those, and how do I make sense out of them in terms of a platform? And that's where the AMPS comes in.
Now, what it can do, will AMPS itself help you try to determine which applications are good candidates, or what exactly will AMPS help you do?
When we go out to CIOs and we say, what would you like your environment to look like in 5 years, it's a very challenging question. It used to be an easy answer in terms of, you know, COTS packages, or in terms of various architectures, like I'm going to go .NET or Java. What we're realizing is much more complicated, that the history of architectures as they've evolved, the only way to get a handle on all those applications is really to get them back down into services, and a service-oriented approach is the way to get there incrementally, we think. It's probably the only way. At least that's what Gartner agrees with us in saying.
Yeah. If you are responsible for managing a mission-critical system and would like to get more information on this, Peter's put together the white paper, and it's available at unisys.com/amps. And you can probably get a connection to the Meritalk survey, where it surveys people like you who are listening now and ask some questions about where they see themselves in 5 years, and how do they see how can they manage their existing staff with a reduced budget. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about Unisys and making a nice, smooth transition to the cloud if it's appropriate. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Peter Gallagher, partner at Unisys Federal Systems.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Peter Gallagher, a partner at Unisys Federal Systems. We're talking about a study that Unisys has been working with the last few months from Meritalk, where they interviewed people like you who are listening and asked some questions about moving to the cloud and mission-critical applications. I guess the question is, why did Unisys even commission the study?
We, with our history of mission-critical applications, we really wanted to make sure we understood what the cloud meant for all of these working applications. A lot of the real assets and the gold in the federal government are in these applications that they've developed over many, many, many years. Some of them are running on platforms like mainframes, and some of them aren't, but there's really a lot of value in those systems, and they're not easy to change. So we wanted to discover if the executives in the government saw this as an issue. And I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Oh, no, I was just thinking that, you know, in history, there's changes and things evolve, and you can see, you know, big, huge things taking place. Same things happen in this whole idea of Unisys and mainframes and moving to web services. Do you see any trends in this channel? Is this cloud just a part of this whole trend?
It's really interesting, because if you look at the history of computing, it's all about how to get better reuse out of everything you're doing. The COTS world, modular code, everything's towards reuse, and the cloud is a reuse strategy. So when I look at the application space, we went from, you know, vertical applications, then we had enterprise application integration, proprietary APIs connecting systems, then we went to this open standard called web services, right? WSDLs and this kind of technology. And what happened was, a lot of spaghetti code was built, where you've interconnected systems with so much complexity that nobody knows all the connections, nobody governs those connections or knows, in fact, what's going to happen if one connection goes down. We have test environments out there to replicate huge environments just to see what happens if I change one system, what does it do to another one? So we're basically losing control of our IT infrastructure because these applications have become so complex and there's so many of them. And as we go cloud, you even get more complexity and more capability to quickly connect applications. It's that governance process. It's getting handle on that we must take advantage of, or we're not going to be able to get the costs under control. And the executives are spending half the money on the old stuff.
You know, I think the four-letter word now is apps, APPS. I mean, all these apps, add this apps to that. It's making network managers go crazy because this is just even add complexity on top of complexity. And if you just take mobile devices and put them aside, it's a difficult environment to manage. And that's what this AMPS AMPS is all about. Is that right?
Right. AMPS, the Application Modernization Platform as a Service, is basically gives you the ability to incrementally modernize a very complex enterprise environment. What it is, it's built on a patent-pending service-oriented approach, and it delivers to you a service-oriented infrastructure as a service on-premise, managed in your cloud or in a Unisys cloud with our partner Terramark. So we have best-of-breed solutions in there, all prepackaged and integrated, so that you're over that service-oriented infrastructure technology issue right at the beginning, and you can really focus on what the challenge is, which is the service-oriented approach and the governance. Until we start to govern these services and understand them, we'll never get out of this old mode of, I own this application, you own that one, with the tremendous redundancy and the tremendous legacy modernization threats out there. We have to start working on this, and this is a channel to do it.
No, I've read the 25-point plan, and boy, I sure agree with a lot of it. It's just that you really can't, you know, lop off the head of something and make a night and day decision. You have to make a transition. I guess this is what it's more like a subscription-based service. It is software as the transition service is a software as a service.
It is. It's kind of funny. It fits between software as a service and platform as a service. That's where this cloud is more nuanced than we give it credit. Gartner calls it application platform as a service. So your applications run through this service governance model. You publish your services, and little by little, your organization gains control of its world, regardless of all the different types of environments and architectures surrounding it. This creates the service-oriented approach that lets you start to manage your enterprise consistently and with some capability to modernize.
So the Meritoc study has some fascinating numbers here. $37.5 billion to support legacy applications. So we're spending a lot of money on supporting legacy applications. And if you use a tool like AMPS to slowly maybe pull yourself away from some of that, you can probably reduce some of that expense for supporting legacy applications and comply with some of the mandates to move to a more flexible, agile system at the same time and doing it reasonably and responsibly.
Right. AMPS makes O&M into innovation. So your maintenance money starts to become innovation money. You start to modernize and incrementally create the platforms to support the integration of your systems and to remove the ones you don't need anymore. We have to start retiring systems. Half of Unisys is commercial. It's banking. It's airlines. And the private sector does a better job of throwing stuff away. It's real hard in the federal government to get rid of systems.
Now, that's not to disparage any of my listeners. I mean, a lot of times they have legislation telling them they can't do certain things. You know, I mean, there's legislation there that's kind of, you know.
And they have systems with no corollary in the private sector either.
Right. You know, I was at a breakfast club this morning and someone was talking about recovery.gov and someone in the audience said, well, why didn't you do this or that? And he said, look, I've got to answer to Congress. Congress had these 10 things they wanted me to do. It's not that I wanted to do or the most efficient things to do, but I had to respond to what Congress wanted, and that's what he responded. So the comparison there is always, it was difficult, and I always kind of stand up for my govies saying, no, wait a minute, these guys are in handcuffs half the day.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's a whole different environment. Makes it more challenging.
So this only works on the Unisys platform, other platforms, or what kind of systems?
No, AMPS is standards, open standards-based. Our partners are a company called SOA Software, Red Hat. And then we have, on the document management side, we have EMC Documentum products. So basically, you've got a pre-configured capability for a service-oriented infrastructure, and our patent-pending framework then lets you bring all of your disparate contractors and tools and technologies and start to manage them and govern them. A service-oriented approach, much more sophisticated than what was done in the past, where we thought a WSDL was SOA, this web service isn't so. It's much more sophisticated.
Yeah, much more trickier to pick and know what to use as a service and what not to use as a service. We come back, talk more about the survey, talk more about Unisys's AMPS. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Be back in a minute. We're speaking with Peter Gallagher, partner at Unisys Federal Systems.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Peter Gallagher, partner at Unisys Federal Systems, and we're talking about a survey that they had done a few months back and talking about making a transition to the cloud and cloud-based services, and they have a product called AMPS, A-M-P-S, talked about that as a nice way to make the transition. So I guess the big picture, the view from 40,000 feet is if you're a CIO working for the government, what you want to do is spend less time maintaining existing equipment and more time innovating and possibly even interacting with citizens.
Sure. In the big picture, the strategy has to move maintenance money to innovation. That has to happen. And this AMPS capability, by taking care of all the infrastructure for the service-oriented approach, typically it takes, 18 months for a federal agency to get the CapEx in place, make all the selections of the different products, and integrate them. You could always buy a proprietary, single stack of software. But coming in with a subscription basis where that's pre-done, you can forget about the technology. And then when you take the right consulting services on top, start working on your governance model to turn that maintenance money into modernization, into innovation.
18 months is a long time with this type of technology, and I think that's why the Meritoc report is an express lane, or is it a detour ahead, or what exactly is going on? If you try to make progress, it's just so much rapid change. If you look at handheld devices, look at social networking. I mean, last year and this year, I think they're talking about 2 billion people now being on Facebook. I mean, it's changing just too dynamically to even understand. The shrinking budget affects all of our listeners, doesn't it?
It affects everybody, and there have been, when we look at an application as opposed to a service, I mean, you've seen a lot of these big applications where they went for the rip and replace, and they said, okay, I'm going to spend $50 million and take something from this and put it there, and there have been a lot of failures and some successes, but really some real risks, and AMPS puts you in a position to incrementally decompose those applications which are mission critical, those business rules which are mission critical, start to service, enable them, and little by little with less risk, start to make sense of your organization and come into a system where you can start to govern that organization and all that complexity that's evolved. I mean, the complexity has gotten to the point where you literally can't manage it. You don't know what all the connections are.
One of the principles of service-oriented architecture, SOA, is reusing services. What they try to do is they try to look at a survey of the services that you're using and pull out the ones that are maybe good candidates for the cloud and pull out the ones that work and can be reused, and that's another concept and whole part of this process, isn't there? Why reinvent the wheel when someone 5 years ago beat their head against the wall to invent it?
Yeah, take single sign-on. The government has a lot of single sign-on initiatives. I mean, as a service, as a programmer in the old days, how many times did I write logon routines? I mean, this was crazy, right? Well, you look around the government where the cloud's going, and SOA and the cloud are combined, because if there's a service created by one government agency, let's say it's a loan service or you have the gov benefits where they've got something relative to grants and stuff. Why can't I get access to that service? Well, that's what AMPS is pushing us towards in the cloud. We'll have finer-grained services available and shared, and that'll get us the reuse. And as we know from the white paper at our site, reuse wins. And that's a better reuse model. So is the only way to make sense of those big organizational problems.
And so your white paper that's available at Unisys, U-N-I-S-Y-S, unisys.com/AMPS, it's a white paper on reusing technology, the whole concept of reusing. Is that right?
Yeah, it's about reuse economics and traces a little bit the history of how everything we've done, everything that's been successful has been a better reuse model. COTS was a reuse model. Open source is a reuse model. And now we've got the cloud, which is a reuse model. And when I take open source and the cloud together, like some of the Googles of the world have done, you get a very powerful concoction, which we've seen the Android having a huge impact, for instance, in just 2 years.
I remember years ago I interviewed that guy who wrote Java. And he told me it would start off as a set-top box on top of his TV, and he wanted code that he could write once, use many. I think this is kind of a principle I see coming up again and again. This guy had written many different single sign-on apps, and he decided he was sick of it. He wanted to use it, write once and use many times, which is the motto, I think, behind service-oriented architecture, behind most of this concept.
Yeah, it really is. One of my pet ideas for federal contracting is that just as we value past performance, each procurement should have a reuse strategy measure in it. Because we have in the OMB 300s, we say, are you reusing anything, is one of the questions. Well, in every procurement, each vendor should have a strategy for reuse. And that would benefit the government, because in the end, we should be sharing all these things and not asking the government to keep paying for the same thing over and over again.
It's certainly done in the commercial world, and it's maybe not done as often in the federal world, but people are siloed off many times in the federal world. They don't know what's going on at Department of Education. They don't know that there is a data interchange that's popular at an agency that you may take advantage of.
Right, right. And AMPS from an enterprise view is really an effort to make those services visible to all of the companies that are working in that enterprise so that they can start to reuse those capable services that are out there with some SLAs on them and start to govern the process and simplify the real key business of the organization.
So AMPS will work with applications that by definition have to stay in-house. It'll also work with applications that may be put out in the cloud somewhere, wherever that might be.
Sure, and the platforms at the back end that you connect could be mainframe, they could be Java, .NET, whatever they are. The focus is on the functionality in that service, documenting it, sharing it, and making it available to others so they don't have to redo it, which is what you need to start governing your organization and simplifying it.
Which is kind of interesting. We talked about recovery.gov earlier. That is a project that's hosted at Amazon. And I thought that was interesting, and Amazon gave them a special agreement where they would guarantee that their servers would remain in the United States. I mean, I see a lot of flexibility among competitors that I never saw in the last 10 years, and maybe a decrease in budget is forcing vendors to be more flexible with what they can offer the federal government.
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge with the budgets coming forward, and that's why the Meritalk study is so important, because if we're spending half of our money on maintaining older stuff, we really have to find a way to make some sense out of that. And these are older systems, mission-critical systems with a lot of value and a lot of money invested in them. We've got to find ways to modernize them.
I think a good approach is, if you're listening to this show and you're thinking about, how to make this move, what are you going to do with reduced staff next year or even this year, you can go to unisys.com and download the white paper, maybe look at the Meritalk report. You can probably Google Meritalk and get the report that way as well. We're going to have to end the interview today. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Been talking with Peter Gartner, the partner at Unisys Federal Systems. Thanks, Peter.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Michael Caine is the Chico for Energy, talking about recommendations for a new performance management system.
Director Barry is very direct. He expects us to get him a fairly detailed set of options and a project plan. We're going to break it down into a number of working groups that are going to work in parallel. So we're going to practice what we preach here. It's all about inclusion. It's all about getting diverse viewpoints.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.